All right, you ready?
No, I'm not ready. We're doing this in the cold light of day, stone sober. This is ridiculous.
Sorry. Not only do we not clutching a drink in our paws, we just went for a run, a 2 mile run.
This is ridiculous.
Like nobody was chasing us.
I don't.
Or anything.
And you were picking up like alien pods full of snakes or
it
something?
It was nature. I was having a nature experience.
This is ridiculous.
These beautiful, luminous, light green pods. They looked like they were little like bubbles or something.
Where is my whiskey?
You can have some after. You
All
finish
right.
the podcast, you get some whiskey. Okay. It's not even 4 o'clock yet. Come on.
I know, but it's a Sunday. I'm on vacation.
And it's Holy Trinity Sunday. It's not just any Sunday.
It's the day.
It's heresy Sunday. When even the greatest priests that you can always depend on suddenly become undependable and start spouting heresy, and you have to lean over and wiggle your eyebrows at the kids and say, no, we'll talk about this later. That's all right.
Oh, Father.
You know, they're expected to know so much. How are they supposed to know that you don't, that God isn't a shamrock? It's really all right. Anyway, happy Holy Trinity Sunday, Damien.
Oh, same to you.
Thank you.
We have some stuff to talk about right off the bat. You've got probably the world's greatest bit of Simca lore that I think is out there right now.
Yeah. You know, I complain a lot, as we know. I enjoy complaining. I'm good at it. I practice a lot. And
I find it strangely attractive.
And I get, you know, the last several weeks have brought a certain number of articles written about me, which are basically lies. And, you know,
I'm surprised that there are that many incels in the Catholic male writer community.
You're surprised?
Well, I'm surprised they're so open about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you know, it hurts a little bit. It hurts a little bit. I'm not going to lie. But most of the time, I can let it roll off my back. But I saw a comment in one of these articles, which was so spectacularly stupid.
I love it.
It took my breath away. And I'm just going to indulge myself a little bit here, which, as we know, is a rare occasion. And I'm just going to read it to you because I laughed. Tears came to my eyes. I laughed so hard when I was reading this. Here's a comment. This is, should I say where it's from?
No. Look, fuck those guys. Don't get clicks.
Okay. All right, here it is. Simca, many years ago, was a very popular advocate for NFP. She was so popular that her schedule was filled with speaking engagements, guest appearances on EWTN, and invitations to speak at Catholic conferences.
I remember that.
Then the internet took off.
That is like...
And sometime after 2004, she had to compete with other Catholics who offered advice on parenting, Catholic teachings, on sexuality, etc. ... I can't say so for sure, but I think her career began to decline and the income it brought in. Add to the stress of raising 10 children, and I can perfectly understand her behavior. I think it all came to the fore when she admitted she was on SNAP, the electronic food stamp program, in a blog piece. She vented her frustration on Catholics she accused of being heartless, those who were against SNAP. It rapidly went downhill from there. She had public run-ins with other Orthodox Catholics like Steve Skojec. She allied herself with...
It's Steve Skojec.
Oh, yeah, there's an extra S on there for some reason. I don't know what the S stands for. She allied herself with Mark Shea. Her blog pieces became more and more openly political. She is a never-Trumper, etc. ... Her heterodoxy didn't have any core, per se. I kept on coming back to that.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
What does it?
She just seemed to want to vent, and her aim was at Catholic orthodoxy. This is all unfortunate. As 20 years ago, 20 years ago, Simca was quite effective. I truly feel bad for her, end quote. And I
20
feel,
years ago, you were pretty damn effective.
Well, that was before the internet. 20 years ago. 20 years ago.
Then the internet happened.
Then the internet happened, and then I had 10 kids. And then I started picking fights with Steve Skojec.
Yeah, this was after all of your appearances on EWTN.
I remember those. I was 12.
Everybody embraced your what you had to write about NFP and thought, this is the greatest thing ever. We certainly want to publish this. We're going to roll out the red carpet to make sure you have a voice.
But then the internet happened.
Then the internet happened.
Oh, no, the internet took off.
Then the internet took off. Holy shit. Max.
I know there's a lot of, there's a lot of, there's
a lot
of. And
before we go any further, we don't want to hear from Steve Skojec at all. We don't care. go. Repost your Fox News image. Okay?
It's all right. Anyway, there was a lot, that comment was a rich tapestry. That's what we call a rich tapestry. But the thing that stood out at me the most was the timeline of it all. Just the really creative timeline where this was all 20 years ago. Like, how old do you think I am? I am 43 years old. When I was 23 years old, I was not like looking back at the end of my career. I have never. They wanted me to be on EWTN one time, and I did not want to get on an airplane, and that was the end of that. It didn't have anything to do with the internet. It was the airplane that was when the airplane took off, and I wasn't on it.
You've now been pre-disinvited from EWTN.
I have been pre-disinvited. Yeah. It's true that it's that thing where there's like an open like a fresh grave site and a hand suddenly comes up for vengeance. That would be Mother Angelica whenever somebody thinks like, who should we have for a guest, and somebody says, how about Sim, and I should be drinking.
Yeah.
I guess I need to be drinking when we're having
heterodox.
A podcast. It's a little heterodox. It's heterodoxish, I would say.
Yeah.
But
wait a minute.
What?
Why aren't we talking about the world's biggest story on the internet? Speaking of, then the internet happened. Then the internet took off.
What's the world?
I can't believe we're not even talking about this.
What is it?
Facebook's pilot program.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about this. This is true, ladies and gentlemen. This is absolutely true. Go ahead.
Facebook, because they've shown to be so trustworthy, they really want to like help.
Yep.
They're here to help. Yep. So they've launched a pilot program in Australia.
Yeah.
Where you can email them. Or send them in some way, probably through Facebook, I guess. I'm not internet savvy. So you send them nude photos of yourself, and then they'll create a database. So that if somebody posts, like, revenge porn of you, they'll be able to find it and stop it.
So this is for science. For duty and humanity, as the prestigious used to say.
Because I think there's nothing that could go wrong here. Okay. This is ideal.
I'm no scholar.
Yes.
Right, but I believe this is Facebook pranking all of Australia. I think that's what's happening.
That's not
here.
Fair. I like Australians. They don't deserve that.
Well, I'm not going to say they deserved it. I'm just saying that is what's happening.
That's clearly what is happening.
Man, you know, just the answer to people doing stupid things is not more algorithms. The answer is for somebody to say, hey, don't send nude photos of yourself. You know, I got nothing.
Give me
a drink. It'll have something to say about it, I guess.
I'll give you a drink once the internet takes off. How about that?
Okay. I'll just fingers crossed. Any day now. Yeah. Didn't you work for a newspaper where the editor actually did say she was waiting for the internet to blow over?
Yes.
And did it?
We'll have to wait and see.
Right.
We're still waiting to see.
We're in a holding pattern, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the same one that had the hole in the floor where you had to put the piece of paper through to get it to the editors.
No, that was a different newspaper.
Oh.
There are many geniuses in the newspaper industry.
Tell us about the stick, though.
Well, the newsroom was on the top floor, so you would print off your draft, and you would send it to production on the second floor by dropping it down a hole.
This is not a metaphor.
There's a hole in the floor. And you shoot it down, and sometimes the draft would get stuck, and so you'd have a pole to shove it down with.
Yeah. Well,
as is normal.
What's wrong with problem solving? That's American ingenuity.
That is pretty.
You know,
it was
poking things with sticks for duty and humanity.
For duty and humanity.
Yeah.
And you know, speaking of 2004, I think that's all of our internet browsers were up to date to 2004 at this newspaper that I worked at just a couple of years ago.
Was everything black with green print on it? Was that what your website looked like?
It was black with green, but that was the ceiling.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that the one that had the obituary pictures on the first page? It always had these like almost dead looking people on the front page.
Because
they finally did get a website, as I recall. That was always the first thing. And I understand people do look at the obituaries, but when it's a website, it seemed like a strange thing to lead with. I don't know. But I'm not, as I say, I'm no scholar. So.
No. Well, neither are any of these people.
Well, it is Memorial Day tomorrow, the day when we're meant to feel guilty for eating hamburgers. I think that's how it's genuinely, generally.
You're just saying that because you hate America.
Well, wouldn't you? No, I don't hate America.
No, we like our SNAP benefits.
Please. Anyway, Moving along, I was going to make a barbecue joke because I have this headline in front of me, a woman who killed husband, because you have barbecues on the 4th of July, Memorial Day, right?
Yeah.
Woman who killed husband may have served lover's remains at barbecue. Ooh. And strangely enough, I read the story and it wasn't,
it made me feel bad
when I read it. Oh. Like she did this a lot, apparently. The serving the lover at the barbecue was a new twist, and apparently that was a bridge too far, and then she had to stop because they caught her. But
who caught her?
The police.
Was it the Facebook nude squad?
Maybe it was. They should have like special hats or something, you know, when they come knocking at your barbecue. Do you want to hear about sharks?
I always want to hear about sharks.
Okay. This is another... I like the headline very much. Here's the headline. Okay. Sharks love jazz.
Can I take that back? I didn't know this was going to be about jazz music.
But doesn't it make sense, though?
I love sharks.
Yeah.
But then there's jazz.
Okay. But what do you love about sharks?
They kill things.
What do you hate about jazz?
It sucks.
Oh. All right, I thought that was going to work out. As it turns out, the story, I thought it was going to be one of these stories where when you play jazz music, like, sharks will, like, respond, like, snapping their fins or something. I don't know.
Like, Mac the Knife. They're all, like, you know, humming Mac the Knife to themselves, right?
Right, exactly. Like it speaks to them, like it does something to their cartilage or something. Like, it's just, like, one of these natural pairings, right? You know,
like Brie and Chablis or something, right?
Yeah, well, it turns out they have discovered that sharks have learned to recognize the sound of a boat motor, and they'll come toward it because they think they're going to be fed, because tourists will throw stuff over the edge. And they said, I don't even understand the study. They're like, well, how about if instead of the boat engine, it was jazz? Can we teach them to come get food if there's jazz? And it turns out they did. And then they're like, well, how about if it's classical music? And the sharks were like, we hear something food. Like, it wasn't like, it didn't go anywhere. It was like randomly chosen that it was jazz. They just decided, they wanted a headline. That's what happened.
That's what happened.
They had the headline first, and then they did the science. And you'll always come to grief when you do the headline first.
That's true.
And that's why our podcast is titled. I forget. You had a title for it, though.
It was, and then the internet
took off. And then the internet took off. I can work with that. I mean, it's not science. It's just a podcast, so it doesn't really.
Because I was ready to like riff on, like, you know, bears are obviously into prog rock, and
I know,
and dogs
right?
are rockabilly, and
I would have put cats with rockabilly because I don't like cats or rockabilly. Maybe that's clouding my judgment.
That could be clouding yours. Well, then dogs would be like classic country.
No, dogs like would be Patsy ska Clown. Or something.
No, nobody is ska. That doesn't exist.
Oh.
It's like The Godfather Part 3. We've all agreed that that just didn't happen.
Okay. All right. I can live with that. I thought this said desperation cockatiels, and I would have enjoyed that story very much, but it does not say that. It says...
It's desperation cocktails?
Okay. Still workable. Go ahead.
It's an article on Deadspin in which they asked people for the worst cocktails they made when they were young drinkers, and they just couldn't find anything in the house. And some of them are classic, like the Becky's Problem, which is vodka and iced tea mix.
Oh.
Or Purple Nihilism, which is gin, tequila, and purple Kool-Aid mix.
Oh!
And my favorite is the absolute fuck ton of bitters and tap water, which is just that.
No!
Just bitters and tap water.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Then there's something called the red anus, which I'll let you figure out.
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. I know. We don't even read Crisis.
just the comments.
No, dear.
Well, I remember, Damien, before when we were both trying to date each other, but we were too shy to, like, do it. I mean, to date each other. I remember you, like, you had a friend with a car at the time.
I don't think that couldn't be, because I didn't have friends.
Right, but, well, you knew somebody with a car who was willing to let you into it, as I recall. And
possibly.
I remember I had some kind of booze of some kind or other. I had, like, vodka or something. And I asked you to get me, like a shake from McDonald's so that I could put my booze into it. Do you remember this?
I don't remember this. I remember your friend Tiffany and you, because she had a car, mm-hmm. and you guys like hijacked me and made me go to McDonald's with you at one point.
That was all Tiffany's doing because I was too shy. She brought us to McDonald's and then she just left because she was tired of hearing about it and she wanted us to just start dating each other already. And we kind of like, I guess we did.
But
I mean, once we got going.
Kate was there. She was like always hanging around.
Kate?
Like
when,
yeah.
She was?
Yeah. Like she was there as like the emergency buffer and for some reason.
I think you may have been overthinking it. I don't know.
I just noticed like when before we actually started going out, you just started hanging around and Kate was always there too.
Hmm. Well, she's Canadian.
That's true. They're always hanging around.
Yeah. Anyway, I remember that you came home with Yoo-hoo. And I was a little bit disappointed. I'm not saying I've been thinking about it like for 21 years.
I don't have a lot of memory of this, to be honest. A lot of guys are yelling.
That seems true though, doesn't it?
It could be, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying that was the worst drink I ever had either though. Yeah.
Do you remember we used to drink whiskey sours and stay up late and watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
You mean like last night?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that show is timeless. I don't want to hear anything about it. The kids are watching it. They're like, oh, look at their clothes. I'm like, what? What? What about their clothes? They're fine. They look fine.
Have you guys looked at yourselves?
Yeah.
Okay, mirror much, guys?
Gee. Yeah. Damien, do you remember last week? When we were talking about
it, wasn't last week. It was,
oh, sorry. It was,
by the way,
it was 20 years ago.
We're going to take a Memorial Day vow right here to not be 4 million years late with the next
podcast.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's life has been really
ass-kicking
a lot.
Lately.
It's been a bit much.
But
it's
we're
just
running
been
now,
a bit much.
And
yeah,
we're doing podcasts.
Yeah, we brought a piece of nature home, and it turned out to be like some kind of wasp bullshit. So it was a beautiful. It's not, oh, I was saying, I brought home this pot. It looked like a seed pot or something.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is clearly some kind of like very seasonal thing. This is going to go away soon. I've never seen one of these. I've lived in New England all my life. Never seen one of these things before. So size of like a ping pong ball.
Yeah.
Bright green. Slightly, translucent. It looked like it was almost giving off light. It has these little dark spots all over it, a little bit spiky. And it was clearly came from a tree because it had a little bit of a stem attached to it. Well, what is this thing? And they're spaced almost evenly down the road. I finally pick a couple of
gorgeous.
Them up.
It was
beautiful.
So weird. I'd never seen it before.
Very,
yeah.
Very alien looking, but very beautiful. And we bring it home and look it up. You know, I'm taking pictures of it and everything. It turns out it's a wasp. A gall wasp, oak apple, or something. Like, they're just saying words now. I don't know. But there's a wasp inside, so I threw it out. But I forget why I was telling this story. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I forget. Anyway, so last time we had a podcast, we were talking about the article in the National Catholic Register. Reporter.
Reporter.
Oh,
yes.
The National
it's
Catholic
such a reporter.
Story. Yes. Yeah. It was these guys who were, like,
They did a weekend.
They had a guy's weekend, right? And for some reason, they didn't feel like going to mass, so they decided they were going to have like whatever mass,
acoustic guitars and handholding.
Yeah,
and
because you know, Eucharist, Schmeucharist. Apparently, they had their iPods, and they had some rye bread or something. You know, they had some naan or something.
Yeah, and like the like the subhead to the article was like the future of the church.
No, that was the end of it.
He says,
and could this? You know, there's a priest shortage. Could this be the future of the church? If so. You know, it's not so bad. So we've been having some fun identifying what the future, yes. What the future of the church is lately.
We have an excerpt of something from the future of the church.
It's from the future. Are you ready?
It's Pope Francis tweeted this out, and it's part of a larger work we'll get to. It's a church that loves the poor is always tuned to the God channel. It never loses the gospel signal. And that is from the Pope's new encyclical coming out soon called Vestigia Herene.
would you care to translate that for us?
Yes, that's Latin for footsteps in the sand.
You know, When I see the Pope tweeting things, I say to myself, you had Benedict XVI and you had John Paul II. Who do you think you are? You had to get three in a row.
As long as we don't lose that God signal.
Oh, you know what? And he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong, but he's like, I'm sorry. I'm just glad we didn't have to listen to his sermon about Trinity Sunday. Because God knows what we would have to correct then. Talking about heterodox. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. I think you're exaggerating. As you sometimes do.
Occasionally.
Do you want to complain a little bit about the Lyme disease vaccine?
Yes, I do, because it is New England, and thanks
we have
to
so many friggin' Lyme
Chinese
ticks
engineered global warming, we never get rid of the ticks now.
Yeah, they don't die; they just
it's killing the moose. By the way,
because, oh, it's such a terrible way to die.
Yeah, moose all winter, like they rely on the snow to get rid of the ticks, but the snow happens so late that they just by the time spring comes around. They have tens of thousands of ticks on them sucking their blood because moose have no
grooming habits. Yeah.
They just never evolved that way. And so they're dying of anemia in the spring. Ugh. So we have Lyme disease.
Ticks are the worst. All of them.
Did you know you can get your dog vaccinated for Lyme disease?
Yeah, but...
And did you know that in the early 2000s, you could have gotten vaccinated for Lyme disease?
I did not know that.
In fact, 1.5 million people were vaccinated for Lyme disease effectively, but it came out at the same time as all of the dipshits were going crazy about thimerosal and pretending there was a link between autism, and they found a supposed link between the Lyme disease vaccine and arthritis.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was an occurrence of 59 people, who developed arthritis, and these are adults in their 40s to 60s.
Sometimes develop arthritis anyway.
They developed 59 people out of 1.5 million developed arthritis. There was no conclusive link that proved it was caused by the vaccine.
Correlation is not causation, as we know.
But, you know, TV hysteria and trial lawyers, we have no Lyme vaccine.
Oh, and Lyme disease is horrible. Just, you know, people need to get it together. That's all. Just get it together. And perhaps I'll lose some listeners for saying so. But we're really pro-vaccine here. We really,
They should tune into the reality channel.
That was pretty hard hitting.
Ouch. That was lame. Let's move
on. Know, that's okay. You know, your masculinity was getting a little toxic there for a minute, Tavian.
Excuse me. Yeah.
I would like to say for the record that I think there is such a thing as toxic masculinity. I absolutely do. I mean, this is something that I've written about before, but I do not believe that masculinity per se is toxic. I'm kind of a fan. You may have noticed. But we saw a thing in the New Yorker, 7 signs that your man's masculinity is non-toxic. And we read it. I read it. You read it. And we said to ourselves, is this satire? We don't know. We're just not sure. The first one is he carries a tote bag that's at once pro-environment, pro-feminism, and pro-reading.
Pro-reading?
And then it has a picture of a guy giving a thumbs up. And so I keep on reading. It doesn't get any better than that. I'm just telling you. He openly cries during Pixar movies. Even the parts that aren't sad, just beautiful. Like is this satire? For whom is it satire?
I don't understand.
I don't know. Like, anyway, I'm sad about the New Yorker used to have James Thurber writing for it. He wrote a thing about I gotta write about this. He wrote a thing about being at a party and watching all the liberals unmasking each other's ideologies.
Oh yeah.
Just like as a party game, like that was what they did for entertainment. They would just take turns unmasking each other's ideologies. And then that would be it. And that would be the party. I've been to that party. It wasn't that much fun actually.
Yeah, it's called Facebook.
Yeah, or Twitter. Yeah. Oh. Anyway, oh my goodness! Was that a good podcast?
I think it was. It was sober. We were pretty funny.
Yeah, and maybe if we have a few drinks and listen to it, it will be funnier.
You think so? One can hope.
I do have a poem.
What we're saying is you should be drinking while you're listening anyway.
Yeah, I highly recommend it, as always. And you know, see if you can get something better than Yoo-hoo, that's all.
Yeah, and or a fuck ton of bitters.
Are bitters even alcoholic? I thought...
Yeah, they're more alcoholic than vodka most of the time.
Did you also know that the better quality gin has a higher... Because for Mother's Day, I got a nice bottle of, what was it, Hendrix?
The St. George.
Oh, St. George. Oh, so good. It's so botanical, really. And normally I have a couple of gin and tonics at night, and then I go to bed. And after Mother's Day, I was having one gin and tonic, or maybe even three quarters of a gin and tonic in the same glass, and basically just like turning into a puddle, and I couldn't get off the couch. Just completely, just gargling, snoring, like I wake myself up snoring. And I check the bottle, and you know, the cheapo gin, what is it, Amsterdam that I usually drink or whatever. Yeah. It's a glass bottle, it's not plastic. 40% alcohol by volume, and the good stuff is 45% alcohol by volume. And apparently, that is my threshold there. So now you know my terrible secret. It's not that I was on food stamps, it's that I can't hold my liquor if it's none of the cheap stuff. Oh, all right. So here's the poem. This is by William Butler Yeats. Crazy Jane talks with the bishop. I met the bishop on the road, and much said he and I. Those breasts are flat and fallen now. Those veins must soon be dry. Live in a heavenly mansion, not in some foul sty. Fair and foul are near of kin, and fair needs foul, I cried. My friends are gone, but that's a truth, nor grave nor bed denied. He pressed the wrong button and now he couldn't see my poem. All right. learned in bodily lowliness and in the heart's pride. A woman can be proud and stiff when on love intent, but love has pitched his mansion in this place of excrement, for nothing can be soul or whole that has not been rent.
And then the internet.
I feel personally attacked right now. I don't know about you. You don't know me, William Butler Yeats.